This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Coach Dan's favorite satchel.
Yeah!
We are back again. What
Still
is going on?
That is.
The Caps, thankfully, are back in D.C. Not a very successful trip out west to California. They are California dreaming of some points because they didn't get any themselves. Joining me, as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Way better than the Caps did in California. Caps went out to California strictly just to lose. That was their plan all along. We just didn't know it.
I mean, it was a risky plan, but it went exactly as they predicted.
That is right. That is right.
As they wanted to go. No, it's not good, but we've seen this from teams in the past where, and not just Capitals teams, but teams in general, where they play very well and they're doing everything right and they're blowing everybody away. We saw Columbus earlier this season. They're blowing everybody out of the water and everyone was like, what team is this? Tortorella. Oh, he's a hockey god, not just a crazy person in a suit. And then they struggled, and they kind of had some trouble going forward after the Caps whooped them at the Verizon Center. And so it wasn't that surprising to see this team struggle at some point after being on such a high for so long. I mean, we've talked about this in the past, and it's not just the season in the past, like in the past, where teams are never as good as they look on a winning streak and never as bad on a losing streak. So it was only a matter of time, it felt like, before this team was going to struggle a little bit. And the telling part isn't going to be that they're struggling. It's how they respond to that struggling and how they play. And to come out and be able to beat up Minnesota like that, and then if they continue that going forward, then we will know what this team truly is. And can they come back from the problems that they were having before?
Now, a lot of fans are really freaking out. Oh, my God, we're only a month away to the playoffs, and now you start losing.
Ah!
I can't believe that. The sky is falling.
Well, I mean, they kind of make a point because you've seen teams in the past, especially the LA Kings and the Penguins last season, where you're not the best team in the league, but you are the best team in the league at the right time.
Right.
And you're playing your best hockey at the right moment. And when that happens, that's when you can win the cup. And that's what we haven't seen from the Capitals. They have not been their best team when it comes to the playoffs.
That's true, but I think at this point in the season, this might be the best time to go on a losing skid if you are in the Caps standing-wise. You know, if you're number one in the East, you know, you can move down a little bit and still make it to the playoffs, but this way, a month out of the playoffs, you kind of can figure out at this point, okay, this is what we really need to work on because we're having problems, obviously, at certain aspects of this game. And personally, for me, I think one of the biggest problems with the Capitals right now is staying out of that penalty box. Those guys love that place. I don't know what it is, but that penalty box and the Caps, they are like, you know, one in the same.
I think it's been a problem all season where they just continually are taking stupid penalties or just continually taking penalties. Or what was it? Was it last season? They've done it this season or maybe two seasons ago where it was like they scored a goal or no. The other team scored a goal and then within like 2 minutes, they would take a penalty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's a good plan to be able to come back. In a game where, well, you might not be down at that point, but let's say theoretically they're down. It's great. Let's go ahead and make it so we have less guys on the ice to score a goal. That's a solid plan, everybody. But yeah, the team has had trouble with the penalties, and they're continuing to do that. In the playoffs, you cannot make those mistakes. You cannot give teams these 2 minute, 4 minute, 5 minute, whatever minute opportunities to be able to have an extra man on the ice. Or not really have an extra man. You have one less guy. Either way. So the penalty is definitely something that they have to look into, and it shouldn't be an issue going this far into the season. And hopefully this is something that they are able to that they are correcting as we go into the playoffs.
Absolutely. It's something I definitely want to see from these guys because that penalty box, you know, that'll kill you in the playoffs. Like you said, if you're giving away, you know, minutes to another team where they have an advantage, it's the Stanley Cup playoffs, they will take that advantage and run with it. I mean, that is not something to take lightly. So these guys definitely need to work on that. It's been really bad. So hopefully the Caps came back from California. They kind of were able to reassess themselves a little bit and kind of get that working. So let's move on. Let's talk about Shattenkirk. came in here. He was the big buy of the trade. Everybody was jealous. The Caps won the trade this year. What have you thought so far? I know it's a little sample size, especially given the fact that he got suspended for 2 games. But is this team better with Shattenkirk in the lineup?
Yeah. Yes, next question.
Well, I'm just wondering because, yeah, he's been good and you kind of have to give him some growing pains or whatever. But when you have a guy like Nate Schmidt sitting out and comes back for a game, scores a goal, looks solid on defense when he's teamed up with Brooks Orpik, it makes me wonder, was Shattenkirk worth the money?
Yes, he was definitely worth – I mean, they didn't give him much, but he was definitely worth what it took to get him. And they're talking about before the game tonight about how it was taking a while for him to sort of adapt to playing. And when you play with, especially defensively, if you play with another person, you need to know when are they going to jump up in the rush? When are they going to come back?
Right.
What is their tendency when they're under pressure? Are they looking to push the puck up the ice? Are they bringing it back? It all depends on certain situations. So developing that chemistry with another person is a big part of playing not only defense, but any sport. And being out there on the ice. And so I thought one of the things that are interesting they were talking about is that Shattenkirk really has been working a lot with Brooks Orpik in terms of their chemistry working together. And during the suspension, you're still able to work with him in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so they definitely develop a better rapport going forward. And I think it's definitely, that can only help the team. And we've seen, and it's been more on the fours, but we've seen players come in like Lars Eller who take a while to adapt to the system. And when they do adapt and they have gotten into the system more and they understand it, then we see how much better of a player they really are. So I still think Shattenkirk was a great acquisition for this team. I love that they brought him in, and it was a phenomenal pickup.
I mean, I like
my timer went off.
That's all right. I like Shattenkirk a lot. I'm a little worried about what he brings to the table. Do you think that it's right? I mean, just because look at what we've seen so far. Yeah, he's been pretty good. He's had assists in almost every single game he's played, but then he makes a dumb move. And he gets suspended. He leaves his feet and, just nails one of the LA Kings. Something like that worries
that
me.
That guy was talking ass about his woman.
You think?
And he had a couple. No, not at all. I think Shattenkirk just did something stupid and he got busted for it. So
I don't want
him. Made a mistake?
He came in because they wanted depth on the defense because guys like Brooks Orpik can get suspended in the playoffs. And then he comes
in. Well, that and the right-handed shot.
That too, but he comes in and then gets suspended. So that just worries me a teeny little bit here.
I'm not concerned. If he goes and keeps doing dumb stuff like this, then it's definitely a concern. But I'd have to go look it up, but is that a staple for his career?
First time he was suspended.
So it's not something that we expect. I think he just made a mistake. And he's, I don't know if he's owned up to it per se, but it's something that he did. And going forward, statistically or historically, I should say, it doesn't seem like it's something that's going to happen again.
Now, what do you think about constantly having Nate Schmidt sit out for him? Because Nate Schmidt has, I've been a little hard on the guy too, but he's had an up and down season. Do you think it would be a good idea to maybe have Brooks Orpik sit out a game or Alsner or somebody? Does it always have to be Nate Schmidt?
Yes, because he's too goofy.
He's too goofy. Well, then you would never be on this podcast.
That is true. That is so very true. We need to do a video of one of these. And people would be like, oh, that makes sense. No, it's Schmidt. He's odd man out. He's the 7th best defenseman on this team right now. And it's just a reality of the situation that they have put themselves in. And he's going to have to bide his time until he becomes a full-time NHLer again. And unfortunately for him, I hate this saying, but it is what it is. You know, there are 6 guys that are currently playing better than he is.
All right, moving on in Caps world, we do have to talk a little bit about Brett Connolly. This guy has had an amazing season so far, and I'm going to be honest, I had no idea who he was until he was a Capital. This guy kind of came out of nowhere, and he's really done such a good job on the third line with Lars Eller and usually Andrei Burakovsky, but this guy just is fantastic. He's a great third line pickup and makes his team better, but I can't believe it actually worked out for the Capitals, picking up a guy and having him actually work really hard and do really well.
Are you implying that players they've acquired in the past did not work hard?
Aaron Volpatti.
oh, wow, that's a name I haven't thought about in a while. What, his name, like, pop up on something recently? You were just like, I can't wait until I get to throw that one in there.
I at the last Caps Fan Fest, which was definitely not this past July, I got one of his sticks. So his name is always on my wall.
Wow, so you're like, oh, one of these days, I'm gonna throw stick that name it to him. And then, yeah! Suck on that, people who haven't talked about full Patty since I didn't remember when he was on the team. We've gone so far off tangent, I remember what the question is.
Let's give me your thoughts about Aaron Volpe. Now you're making me
scared. Well, I thought it was okay when he was here. No, Connolly, I remember his name, not really when he was drafted per se, but when he played with Tampa for a bit. I remember being like, oh, he's okay. He wasn't like someone that like stood out necessarily. When they brought him in, I think even in this early in the season, I was like, okay, maybe he'll find a spot in the roster. I'm not really sure on the fourth line, you know, maybe. And I think he's done exceptionally well. I think he's played very well. Was it on the third line? And they're doing very well together. Everyone's the whole third line has clicked. And so as the team moves forward, I'm sure they will continue to keep them together, not to continually use the same word over and over. But for this team to have the opportunity to play as well as they have been up until the break. But like you said, it's nice to see a guy that has thrown off. I don't know if I would compare Volpe to Connolly, but it's nice to see that they had a guy they kind of took a flyer on. He was real cheap. And it's actually worked out in their favor. I mean, we see that all the time with NHL teams where they go and they acquire someone. They bring someone in as a trade or a draft or whatever. Not draft. Free agency. And it's real cheap. And you're like, oh, I'll give it a shot. See if this guy actually turns out to be anything. And then, bam, he actually is pretty freaking good.
Yeah, Brett Connolly has done absolutely great this year. He's been a great pickup by the Capitals. He's made this a solid third line. That was a big thing after the playoffs last year, is that they wanted to build up the third and fourth line that they kind of disappeared last year. And Brett Connolly is definitely a great pickup, and he has done a wonderful job on that third line. So now let's talk about a guy who potentially is coming back pretty soon, Andre Burakovsky. He practiced.
Andre!
He practiced with the team for a full practice this week.
Whoa!
Potential of him coming back next week or maybe even this weekend. Oh. Who knows? But got to talk about him. How long do you think it's going to take for this third line to kind of get back into the groove of things with Andre coming back? Because I have to assume...
You're assuming he's going to be in the lineup.
He's gonna...
Brandon, who sits with him in?
Well, Jacob Verana gets sent back down to Hershey.
Oh, it's so sad for him. I mean, it makes sense. You bring him in. Okay, so hold on. So Verana goes in. And then, yeah, I guess it makes sense. You send Verana down, give Hershey some help, and Burakovsky steps back in. I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of had him come in for a game and then sit a game and then come back for like two and then sit one and sort of ease him into things. But you only have so much time. I mean, they only have 12 games left.
That's true.
So you need to get him up to speed pretty quickly. And because before you know it, bam, playoffs.
We've seen what happens with Andre Burakovsky when he sits for a couple games. Usually gets a fire underneath his butt, and he actually starts playing really, really well. But I think you got to have to give Burakovsky as much playing time before the playoffs as you can, because he does have to gel with that third line. I mean, like we just talked about with Brett Connolly, third and fourth line is going to be, you know, one of the biggest points that the Capitals, the biggest leg up the Capitals will have come playoff time.
Look at the Islanders last year. Was that last year? Playing the first round?
2 years ago. First round was Flyers.
Right. Look at the Islanders from 2 years ago. How they had that, or even the Penguins from last year, they had a third line that was playing phenomenal. And if you need to have help, especially in the playoffs, from your bottom six guys. And if they're not stepping up and playing a bigger part, then you're not going to make it much further.
Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Probably.
What could we miss? We're professionals.
What else is there to talk about? And then they shook the lineup for a little bit. Now it seems to be back to normal. I understand what Trotz is doing. He's just trying to make something happen, see what he could get going. And it made sense for the most part. I was a little surprised with some of the choices, but I think he was just trying to be like, guys, wake up.
As much as you love top line Tom Wilson,
slow down, buddy.
I don't like when they break up Winnick, Wilson, and Beagle. Those three guys together make up what Winnick calls the lunch pail line, and I absolutely think that they're a solid fourth line. I mean, that could be anybody else's, you know, second or third line in another team.
I mean, you look at – so, like, Connolly, they're probably going to want to re-sign, but he's probably going to want a bit of a raise on his $850,000. Vrana, they got locked up next season. Beagle's locked up. Wilson, $2 million. You got to be kidding me. So, Winnick, he makes 2.25. Is he going to take less money? Because they need to free up some cap space. There we go. For Kuznetsov, for Oshie, Williams is probably gone. Stop shaking your head. He's coming back, you jerk.
No, he's not.
Alsner, if you want to bring him back. Shattenkirk, if you want to make a run at him. Orlov's going to need new money if he isn't out in Vegas. Sorry, because it's not Las Vegas anymore, apparently. Nate Schmidt, you're going to need to re-sign. Philip Grubauer, if he's still on the team. Andre Burakovsky's going to need a new contract. And Tom Gilbert. I'm just kidding. He's not coming back. He's never, ever playing with the Capitals, apparently. Yeah, because no one get hurt. Knock on wood.
All right.
Chandler Stevenson's going to need a new contract. Stevenson, Christian Juice, Phoenix Copley. Guy does not spell his own name.
Phoenix Copley, he's definitely going to be coming back. He'll be getting a little contract extension, might even be get pushed up to the big leagues to do a little backup if the Golden Knights have their way.
Their name is still stupid.
It is dumb. Very dumb.
How long do you think it will stay with this logo and this name?
I mean, at least 4 years, definitely. But let me ask you a better question. With that,
are you implying that my question wasn't good, you jerk?
A little bit. With games going on in Vegas, how many games will it take until Patrick Kane gets arrested in Las Vegas?
He actually won't play the first time he goes out there. He will go out, he'll get there the day before or even the day of, and he'll be arrested within like 17 minutes of setting foot outside of the airport.
I bet you like the NHL players have to sign a waiver that they are not going to get into any sort of trouble when going to Vegas. Like there's got to be a special contract or special stipulation in every single player's contract that you won't do dumb things in Vegas.
Good luck with that, guys. Ain't going to end well like you think.
All right. Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Probably not.
All right.
Probably is. Wait, legit. How long do you think it's going to be before they change the name? Because you see a lot of teams when they first come into the league, they change their, not the name, but they'll change their logo and their jerseys within the first few years.
They do that a lot, but I don't know.
Have you even seen the jerseys yet?
We have not seen the jersey. We have seen
have they released
the logo.
Yeah, well, they dropped the ball on that one.
Logo and the name. Yeah, logo's not the greatest. name's not the greatest.
You're much nicer about this whole thing than I am. You're like, oh, they could have done better, whereas I'm like, it's piece of crap.
Hey, guys, solid effort. Honestly, solid effort. I like the V in the helmet, even though I don't understand. That's not a knight's helmet. That's a
Spartan.
Yeah, it's a Spartan helmet. It doesn't make any sense.
They're going to have Gerard Butler come out and introduce the team on their first game.
That's going to be like their Unleash the Fury. You know, it's just going to be everyone screaming, this is Sparta.
This is Vegas! Oh, they're so dumb.
We'll see what happens. All right.
Good job, guys.
So
drop the ball.
They did.
How long before they're the Vegas Aces?
Oh, God.
Admit it, that does sound kind of cool.
Yeah, I still think the Desert Knights would have been a lot better.
Nope, still dumb.
All right, that's it. That's it for what's going on in Caps World. We will be right back with Down on the Farm, where we're talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 2-1 with wins over Binghamton and Providence. The Bears are currently fifth in the Atlantic Division with a record of 33-18-11. That's good for 77 points, 8 back of first place Wilkes-Barre Scranton. The thing is, In any other division, they'd be in first, second, or third.
Wow.
East Division, tearing up the AHL. Hershey will be back at it with three games over the weekend, with Friday and Saturday at the Giant Center, both of those being against Hartford. Sunday, they'll be on the road in Bridgeport. Let's head on down to South Carolina, where the Stingrays went 1-1 with a win and a loss against Florida, so that doesn't really help them in the standings. They're currently fifth in the South Division with a record of 23-26-3, good for 67 points, 18 points back of first-place Florida. But they're actually only 8 back of second-place Greenville. So first place is highly unlikely, but second place is certainly an achievable feat. That's what, only like 2.5 games back, really, in the world of hockey. Stingrays will be back at it on Saturday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Greenville, followed up with an away game next Wednesday against Atlanta.
Look at this.
That's what's going on.
The promo for this Saturday is bring your dog to the puck game. You can actually bring your dog to the game.
Is that real? I didn't even see that.
That is awesome.
That can't be real.
That's it's on their official Brandon, Facebook page.
Stop kidding. Pucks and Paws Night. What the hell? And $4 Pinot Noir or something.
How does Ovi the Bulldog get into this game?
He gets a flight from California.
Yeah.
Bringing your furry friend to the North Charleston Coliseum as the Stingrays take on the Greenville Swamp Rabbits at 7. Are the dogs going to be chasing the rabbits? Get it? That was dumb.
Oh my God.
One ticket gives admission to both you and your dog. Oh. There's no way this won't go poorly.
They're having a wiener dog race. That is the coolest thing ever.
This is not a good idea.
This is great. I want to go.
This is so not a good idea.
This is a great idea. I love it.
I'm calling it now. This will end poorly.
This is so cool.
I'm telling you, gonna end poorly. Call it now. A dog is gonna get eaten or pooped on, or one of them's gonna bite another one, and it's all gonna go poorly. But that's what's going on down to the farm.
All right, so that's it for Down on the Farm. Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, go do your thing. Get in the postseason. But South Carolina just became the coolest team ever in any league for having pucks and puppies for a game. That is awesome. All right, so that's it. We are now going to go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. The season is almost over, less than a month away, but people are staying busy. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, there's so much going on in the NHL, what with the trade deadline passing, everyone just gearing up for the playoffs, trying to make that last big push. But Brandon, let's talk about the big story this week, as the U.S. women's hockey team will not participate in the IIHF World Championships in Michigan unless USA Hockey increases their funding of the players. They want, and I quote, equitable support in the areas of financial compensation, youth team development, equipment, travel expenses, hotel accommodations, meals, staffing, transportation, marketing, and publicity. It basically sounds like they want what the men get. And I see no reason why they shouldn't get it. Like, why is this a topic of discussion? They should get the same things that the men get. Yes, marketing-wise, Patrick Kane is likely a bigger name than some of the women on the team, but that shouldn't be relevant because they're doing the same thing. I don't understand. I mean, we talk about will the NHL players go to the Olympics, but these guys get compensated with top accommodations. They get a ton of marketing. And, oh, yeah, they get millions of dollars from their NHL deals. Or KHL, or Swedish League, or Finnish, or German, or Austrian, or Dutch, or French, or German. Or, I mean, English. They have a league, too. I don't think anybody good plays there, but that's besides the point. USA Hockey is claiming that the players can earn up to $85,000, though that number is not entirely accurate. So, you know, the problem here is that USA Hockey is saying that the players could earn that much money, not that's what they will earn. Like, Brandon, with our jobs, assumingly, we have a set salary. You will make this by the end of the year if you work all of the time you're supposed to, right?
Correct. That's
They're
how it works.
Saying it's not this is what you might make. So this is what USA Hockey is saying. This is what you have the opportunity to make should you hit all of these benchmarks, which is not necessarily the case in a tournament like this. So the players may make significantly less. And USA Hockey is not paying all the $85,000. I believe $60,000 of that dollars I read is coming from the USOC. So it's all of this just seems very sketchy. You know what this actually reminds me of? It reminds me of the NHL.
Really?
Players have been talking about this whole thing for a year, and USA Hockey did nothing until now.
Well, now that it's up to
what does that sound like to you, Brandon?
It sounds like a lockout to me, is what it sounds like.
It does sound a little bit like a lockout.
Now, it's interesting because the women for USA Hockey have won way more than the men in the last decade or so. They have what, 2 silver medals from the last 2 Olympics. The men have they have 1 silver. They didn't even medal last 3 years ago.
They ended up in 4th.
That's right. So they didn't even do anything
there. Thanks for reminding me, Brandon.
Yep. We'll be covering the Olympics next year, a little bit before this time, I think.
You paying for us to go over? Thanks, man.
So funny. But the thing is, like, they've gotten what? Gold medals, the last world's championships, the last like 4 or 5. I mean, the USA women have just been dominant in the IIHF. So for them to ask for what the men want, like, I completely agree. They should get that.
God forbid.
But like the stuff they're saying, like, oh, well, you need to do this because somebody said we have to work another job in order to do this. Well, so do the men, technically. They also have to work for the NHL. As well as the IIHF. So, I mean, that's their job, but that's a little bit of a gray area since they are athletes. And marketing-wise, I kind of agree with you with what you said. The USA women's hockey team isn't going to sell out arenas like the men's will. I mean, that's sad to say because they play much better on the international stage than the men. But they're not going to. The only name I can think of for USA women hockey is Hillary Knight. It's the only one I know. But they're athletes. They deserve to be compensated correctly. Because they are a women's team. I think that they're not getting the same compensation because of a gender issue. I think it's more of a we can't sell as many ads during your games as the NHL stars.
I mean, there is that some to it, and the article I was reading from, I'll say his name necessarily appropriately, Greg Wyshynski from Puck Daddy, is the women are not asking to earn necessarily the exact same as the men.
Right.
But they are asking for comparable in terms of what they're getting. Not financially that much money, but they should still be treated the same way.
Correct. And that is 100% true.
They should. The financial amount is, I mean, this is the reality of business, and we see this a lot with Hollywood or in TV shows and things like that, where show may have the greatest writing in the world, but if it's not marketable, if it's not selling commercial time, it's not going to survive.
Now, this is something that you could maybe think about. I don't know how it works. I think the IIHF is a little bit more lenient when it comes to logos and stuff than like the Olympics are, because I remember they had the USA logo on the jerseys 7 years ago, where it was the USA with kind of like the flag waving in the wind at the bottom, and they said you can't use that because that's the USA hockey logo, not the logo for the USA. So they had to take that off and just put the USA letters on there. So, but you're allowed to do that in Worlds. So like if you want if you're worried about marketing and all that kind of stuff, why don't they put, you know, logos on the jerseys for the women, and that way they make more money, and then
because those look, I hate that.
I know, but if you're trying to make more money, money this way, and that way it can go more to the athletes.
Oh, they're not going to give that to the athletes.
but like that's another way to make money, and like the world's championship coming up, is that airing anywhere? Like, is there anywhere to sell ad time?
Probably NHL Network.
You think there? Like, I was thinking maybe if they were streaming it or something. And I'm not trying to, I'm kind of just playing devil's advocate right here. I'm not trying to say I don't agree with the women's rights to not get paid the same amount as the men's team. They 100% should be paid for playing for the USA. They should make enough money to, they're going to step away from their day job for a couple months and they're going to, you know, play for their country. That's a very, very valiant thing to do. So I think they should be compensated for what they're doing, but, this is so close to when the actual tournament is. I don't know how you work out these kind of gray areas, because the USA hockey, I think this is what they wanted. They wanted the, you know, to wait till the last minute and be like, oh, we don't have time to do anything now. But if the women aren't playing, you're selling no ad time. You're selling no commercials. You're selling no ads on the boards of the rinks. You are making zero money instead of talking to them and potentially making, you know, 80% instead of 100% of the profits.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a petty, ugly situation right now where we see this happen in a lot of industries, unfortunately, where women are making less than men. That shouldn't be the case, but unfortunately right now that's the world that we live in, and I applaud these ladies for being like, screw you guys. If you're not going to treat us fairly or accurately, then we're not going to play. We're not going to hang out. We will take our puck and go home.
It's pretty much, it is.
But in this case, usually you make that joke or poor joke in reference to someone being whiny, but they are 100% accurate in this.
And it's the whole team, right? It's not just like one or two players. It is the
entire- thing is, so like, I'm pretty sure it's the whole team, and not only is that, not NHL. Well, it kind of sounds like them. USA Hockey's like, well, we'll just go with U18 or U22 players, and the ladies are like, yeah, they're on our site too, so you're kind of screwed. Like, those people might be like, well, screw you too. We're not going to play either if you're going to be, you know, jerks to everyone.
Man, you hate to see politics and this kind of crap get involved in the game, but that's where we're at right now. And if they have to miss Worlds this time around, you know, they'll be able to come back stronger than ever. Hopefully they get at least, you know, some of the things that they want. Equal pay, though, that should be number one, and that's what they absolutely should get. They earned that. They earned the right to make, you know, enough money to support themselves while playing this game. And we'll see what USA Hockey wants to do. But that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's ugly. It's an ugly situation. But that's what's going on, not in the NHL, but in the world of hockey. People are not being very nice.
Kind of wish we could end on a not such a downer.
Well, the Caps lost, so that ain't going to help.
Yeah, that sucks too. Hey, it's St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. That should be fun, right?
Woo! I gotta find a green shirt.
Wear your green.
So no one pinches me.
That's right. All right, guys.
Don't pinch anybody tomorrow today. You know, when this goes up.
If you want to pinch somebody on St. Patrick's Day, you could pinch me or Coach Dan. You can tweet to either one of us a digital pinch at Brando Cash on Twitter. Coach Dan, where can people pinch you at?
If someone digitally pinches me, I legit won't be mad. Like, I will be like, well played. That
nicely
was actually
done. Yeah, slow clap.
I will find a gif of someone just like clapping, like golf clap. And like, well done. I am genuinely impressed by your ability to be clever. Not really, because you gave me the idea. I take it back. You get no golf clap from me. But if you want to try and get a golf clap from me, you can find me on Twitter at WTPCoach. And I'm on there talking about the Capitals and Arsenal and the Redskins and how they're infuriatingly stupid.
Go Ravens.
What's the new thing? No, don't go Ravens. Boo them too. But hashtag Bruce Allen out. And Larry Michael. Take his ass too. But yeah, that's WTPCoach Dan on Twitter. But Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment.
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment and What the Puck. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook on Twitter at What the Puck Pod and Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Like us. Follow us there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. We're posting up funny pictures and articles and anything else that we find amusing or interesting. We will be posting there as well to discuss with you guys. So, We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Bumble and anything else you use socially on the web that we don't know about yet. Talk about the Caps. Tell people to listen to What the Puck and that they should also be watching the Capitals. If you want to watch the Capitals with a friend, here are the games coming up until we speak again. The Capitals hit the road, and on March 18th, they will be in sunny Tampa Bay up against the Lightning. That game's at 7 o'clock, and that is at airing locally on Comcast Sportsnet. And then on Tuesday, March 21st, the Capitals are up against Calgary back home in D.C. against the Flames. That game is at 7 o'clock, and that will be on Comcast Sportsnet as well locally here in the Baltimore, D.C. area. And then we'll be back, we think, potentially, the plan. Right now is to come back after that, but who knows when we'll actually record again. It's a going theme for the rest of this year.
Yeah, they need to set this schedule stuff. Schedule maker? Being a real this season.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you so much for listening to What the Puck. We will be back later, but until then, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.